This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for the final weekend in September.
Doesn't seem right.
I know, it's gone. That's three quarters of the year, nearly gone already.
Another month now, oh boy.
Yep, getting that much closer to it. You know, this past Friday, we passed a kind of a milestone, landmark point on the calendar. It's not summer anymore.
Fall.
It's first day of autumn on Friday, the 23rd. So we finally hit the fall season officially. And so it kind of got me thinking a little bit about the weather and stuff, because we always use a lot of things during the different seasons to, you know, there are a lot of these old, well, they used to call them like old wives' tales, but it's really more like folklore and stuff that we use to determine what's going to happen for the weather. You know, people use different things that they'll see in nature to decide whether or not it's going to rain, whether or not the winter is going to be real bad. You know, you've heard about the little woolly worms. You know, a little brown and black woolly worms.
I don't know where the saying is.
And people will take a look and see, you know, I think it's the more, I don't know if it's the blacker they are. See, I didn't grow up around that kind of stuff. We didn't do those kinds of things. But, you know, I hear folks talking about, I think it's like if they're really black, the more black they have on them, the worse the winter is going to be.
Oh, really?
Of course, this is the time of year it seems like they're all doing their suicide missions across the roads. But, yeah, folks always have their different little things about the weather that they like to use. And I was looking through a magazine that I received the other day in the mail. It's called WeatherWise. It just got some insider information on weather, but it had a little feature in there called Folklore Facts. And I was looking through that a little bit, and it's kind of funny when you look through some of these things. But in some cases, you know, we take a look at them and think, well, you know, that's like trying to forecast the weather by wetting your finger and sticking it up in the air. But there are actually, there are some facts involved in some of these old weather proverbs and things that people sometimes use that actually are based a little bit on science. They're not just all just up there, you know, just thrown up there to see if it rhymes.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, long before we had up-to-the-minute electronic weather forecasting and all that kind of stuff, farmers had very little more to go on than folklore to make their weather predictions, and many of the proverbs they created by observing nature hold no small amount of fact. In that case, a University of Minnesota faculty member who's a physicist and grew up on a Wisconsin farm, he kind of got interested in folklore as a boy, listening to his relatives discuss weather in terms of proverbs, and he noted that farmers who knew the most proverbs were usually the most prosperous. He says he believes that much of the weather folklore is firmly grounded in some scientific fact, and he found that some folklore sayings, in fact, are valid observations of actual physical laws that affect weather. So he went on to write some weather proverbs and stuff, detailing how 600 proverbs accurately explain the weather system. And these are just a few of some of the most commonly repeated predictions that he pulled out of his book that he wrote. Now, maybe some of these you've heard before, but one here says, "Before a rain, sheep are frisky and they box each other. And when horses are restless and they paw with their hoof, then you'll soon hear the patter of rain on your roof. And if cows huddle, it's going to rain." So some of these things these proverbs. Well, when the barometric pressure falls, as it does before an imminent storm that carries rain, it directly affects the entire body's chemistry. And most farm animals, many people as well for that matter, often become discontent, irritable, and nervous when you can feel the atmospheric pressure falling. You may not realize it.
Yeah.
You might just think it's your husband that's irritating you, but it actually can be the weather.
It's the weather now, huh?
But you can still take it out on your husband, I guess, right?
Okay.
Here's another one. It says, "Wells gurgle and yield muddy water before a storm." You grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
Didn't you hear all these things?
No.
Oh, come on. You're always out playing with the cats. Groundwater tables are under pressure from water weight and atmospheric pressure, and they say deep in the mass of water points to come to the same pressure. Now, when barometric pressure falls in advance of a storm, the loss of the atmospheric pressure is compensated for by rising water pressure, and that action causes water levels to rise in wells, and the springs sometimes will gurgle like that. So there's a little fact involved in all of these things. Here's one, too. It says, "Listen to the katydid. When its chirp goes from katydid to katy, there will be frost in 10 days. The frost is out of the ground when you hear the first frogs in the spring."
This is all new to me.
Well, as with many insects, it says descending temperatures numb the grasshoppers, katydids or grasshoppers, temporarily, and that reduces their strength and the length of their calls. So there's truth to that. And as for the frogs, it's safe to assume that the thaw is permanent when hibernation is over. So there's some truth to some of those things. Trying to look through here real quick. And oh, here's one. When fish break water and bite eagerly, expect rain. Trout jump high when the rain is nigh. Well, as earlier described, decaying plant matter at the bottom of lakes and streams rises to the surface when the barometric pressure falls, so many insect nymphs reside in the decaying matter, which sets it off a feeding process. So the minnows will start to feed on the nymphs that are at the surface, and then the larger fish will start feeding on the minnows. So there's a process by which all that works out. It's kind of interesting to see some of the things that will happen. And there's a few of them here, too, that have to do with, like a tough apple skin means a hard winter. If corn husks are thicker than usual, a cold winter is ahead. Well, thick apple skins or corn husks can show themselves in advance of an extremely cold winter. So two basic winter facts back that up. He says a warm, wet summer encourages plant growth, and also weather tends to average out certain of its conditions by swinging like a pendulum. So it is a possibility that a pendulum swing is going to bring a cold, dry winter after a warm, wet summer. And let's see, I want to grab one more here. Here's one. It says, if the goose honks high, fair weather. If the goose honks low, foul weather. Birds flying low, expect rain and a blow. Did you follow all
cute.
That? As it turns out, birds are excellent pilots, and they adjust their flight to the optimum air density. So when barometric pressure is high, the optimum density is higher in the sky. And conversely, when the barometric pressure is low, optimum density is closer to the ground. So fair weather occurs during times of high pressure, while foul weather is often inspired by low pressure. So if the goose honks high, fair weather. If the goose honks low, foul weather. So remember, birds flying low, expect rain and a blow. Got that?
I think so.
You're going to remember that one, aren't you? It kind of rhymes, too, so that does help a little bit. So, yeah, some different folklore facts and things there, too. So some of the things that you may have learned, little sayings that you may have learned when you were young and think, that's just an old wives' tale. Well, the old wives and the old farmers, they base their observations on fact, whether they knew it or not. So it all makes some sense. And often we'll get people asking, is it windy outside? I noticed they had a little wind table here, too. And it's got the, like the different wind speeds. Have you ever said, is it windy out? And you'll say, it's kind of breezy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? A slight breeze is 4 to 7 miles per hour. A gentle breeze is 8 to 12 miles per hour. A moderate breeze is 13 to 18 miles per hour. A fresh breeze is 19 to 24 miles per hour. And a strong breeze is 25 to 31 miles per hour. So the next time you say it's a little breezy outside, Be more specific. Yes, please.
It's a fresh breeze.
Yeah, there you go. I want to know for sure. Is it a fresh, a moderate, a strong? I mean, you've got to be more specific than that. There actually are some technical things attached to that. So, yeah, next time you're discussing weather, there you go. There's some ammunition for you to win that argument.
Nice.
All right. All that weather stuff out of the way. It's going to get nice out here, though, again, very soon. Even though the weather's going to get a little chillier and probably a little wetter and a little breezy and all those kinds of things as the weather turns, the trees are going to look awful nice here awful soon.
That is nice to look at.
It feels like they just turned green a couple weeks ago.
I see a few falling, and I'm just thinking, no, not yet. I'm not ready to rake and do all that fun stuff.
It's good together work.
It's not good work. No.
Yeah, but you're 7 months pregnant. You won't be raking, right?
Maybe we'll just mow it. We'll shred it down.
Do what you
got. Save us all a favor.
Do what you got to do to make it all work out. But yeah, it's going to get really nice, and we're going to see a lot of folks out doing a little traveling here very soon, too. Folks enjoy getting out to some of the areas that are some of their favorites to look at some of the trees. You know, some folks think you have to go up to, the northeast part of the country, you know, Maine and New Hampshire and places like that to see a lot of the leaves, foliage this time of the year, or Wisconsin, Minnesota, up in northeast Iowa. Some of those places are very beautiful, but there are a lot of places around here, too, where folks like to go. DeSoto Bend is always a nice spot for folks to go visit. And we have a lot of nice parks around here, too, that have quite wide varieties of trees. And even if you don't want to do the parks, there are plenty of roads around here where you can take off and go and see all kinds of neat stuff. And little cutouts here and there where you can stop, maybe have a picnic lunch and things, too. So, you know, we get so caught up in doing things so quickly all the time that sometimes it's kind of fun just to sit back and just relax.
Yeah.
And I was thinking here recently about family stuff and things. You know, we all have our memories from when we were kids of different types of things. And, you know, when I think back, some of the best memories I had were of my grandparents and my aunts and uncles all getting together and stuff. And we used to go out to the park. I think I've mentioned before on the air that that used to be our Mother's Day ritual when we were little kids. Mom and my aunts, my grandmas, where they would take us out to, we would all go out as a family out to, because that's the day the parks opened in Dubuque, was on Mother's Day. So we'd always go out to the parks, and as little kids, we'd play on all the stuff.
Huh.
You know, the tubes and nets and swings and slides and all that kind of stuff. And we always had little baseball games and stuff, sometimes with wiffle balls, sometimes with real baseballs and stuff, where, you know, we'd play a little underhanded baseball like that, where you throw an underhand so everybody can hit. And even my grandma had hit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she hit me in the knee with a line drive one time. I thought my career was going to end before it started. But, yeah, we, you know, you think back all those kinds of things. And it seems like the best memories, they don't necessarily have to be things that cost a lot of money. They don't necessarily have to be things that, you know, you had to rush to get to. Sometimes it's just the simple things like that.
Yeah.
Going out, spending time with family and doing some of those things. So, you know, maybe this is a good season to kind of get back in touch with that now, too. So,
yeah.
And there are a lot of opportunities for folks to do that as well. I know your list is very full, it seems
it
like.
It is.
Especially on the weekends with lots of different activities and dinners and festivals.
Yes, well, the Grant United Methodist Church, they're having their annual bazaar on September 25th on Sunday. It starts at 10 a.m. and they'll have a worship service featuring the music of Glory Road. Following the service from 11:30 to 1, the church will serve home-cooked meals that includes ham balls, roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, Harvard beets, buttered corn, assorted salads, pies and desserts, and drink. It's just $7 for adults and then $3.50 for children 12 and under. And the money raised from that goes to support the Grant United Methodist Women and their work for mission projects and the Grant Church. They'll also have an auction there again with some homemade crafts and rugs, fresh garden produce, baked goods, and much more. That's the Grant United Methodist Church on September 25th. And then the day's events will begin at 10 a.m., starting with that worship service. There's a Celebration of Life cancer benefit for Georgia Weidel. She's 13-year-old daughter of Jean and Polly Weidel on September 25th at the Audubon High School. They'll have a pork dinner from at 11:30, and then they'll have a live auction that will start at 1. They'll also have a silent auction and a bake sale. Proceeds go to help cover medical expenses. And that's on September 25th at the Audubon High School. St. Patrick's Parish in Walnut, they're having their annual fall dinner. This is on Sunday, September 25th from 11 to 1:30, and they will be serving Staley's Chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy, vegetable, salad, roll, and pie. $9 for adults, and then $6 for children 10 and under, and preschool is free. They do have carryouts available. You can get that for $9.50. Just call 712-784-3388. St. Patrick's Parish in Walnut's annual fall dinner on September 25th from 11 to 1:30. Bowman Chapel Harvest Dinner and Bazaar is on September 25th. Theirs is from 11 to 1:30. And they will be serving roast beef with sweet corn, green beans, mashed potatoes and gravy, salad and homemade pies and desserts. Cost is $8 for adults and $4 for children 10 and under. They'll have a bazaar afterwards featuring some homegrown products such as salsa and spaghetti sauce, jams and jellies and more. They'll have a silent auction featuring a machine quilted and a queen-sized autumn quilt. The Atlantic Crop Walk will be held on September 25th, and that starts at 2 p.m. at the downtown city park. They'll walk about 3 miles throughout the community and then conclude the walk with a time of worship and refreshment and sharing at the Atlantic United Presbyterian Church on the corner of 7th and Chestnut. Any questions about the walk, you can go to the website, which is cropwalk.org, or you can also call 243-3678. On Monday, September 26th, the Shelby County Conservation Board, they're having a Dutch oven cooking for breakfast on September 26th. It's a class, and that starts at 5:30. That will be held in the Nature Center at the Nishnabend Recreation Area. That's near Corley. They'll be making and eating about 8 different breakfast recipes. Just $10 for adults or $5 for kids 10 and under. Just need to call the Iowa Western in Harlan to sign up for that. On September 29th, Cumberland will have a meeting to discuss the possible closing of their post office. Steve King's office will be present. If you'd like to attend that meeting, it'll be held at the Cumberland Community Building on September 29th at 7 p.m. The Griswold Methodist Church, they're having an Apple Day lunch on October 1st from 11 to 1. That'll be a potato bar, and they'll have apple desserts for a freewill offering. And there'll also be a cookie walk where you can pick and choose your cookies for $4 a bag. It's a Griswold Methodist Church Apple Day lunch on October 1st from 11 to 1. Griswold Apple Days is held on October 1st and 2nd. I'm at 3B Farms, which is about a mile west of Griswold. The Apple House store will be open from 9 to 5 and then on Sunday from 1 to 5. At 3B Farms, we'll have the playground with activities including rope maze, slingshot apple launcher, corn box, corn shelling, hay rides, pumpkin patch, and new this year, they'll have some duck races. Other activities in Griswold include a pancake breakfast at the fire station from 7 to 10 a.m. They'll have citywide garage sales. And like I said, the United Methodist Church will have the cookie walk and the potato bar. And the museum will be open from 1 to 4 on October 1st and 2nd. That's Griswold Apple Days on October 1st and 2nd. Audubon's 13th Annual Fall Community Garage Sale is on October 1st. That's from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. They'll also have some early bird sales on Friday evening. There'll be crafts and small appliances, toys, adult and children clothing, furniture, much more. There'll also be some sidewalk bargains, and there's free map listings addresses available at local businesses and also at the chamber office, or you can also just look for the orange flags. That's Audubon's 13th Annual Fall Community Garage Sale on October 1st, and that is from 7 to 1. Emmanuel Lutheran Church, they're having Oktoberfest dinner on October 2nd. That is at the Adair Community Center from 11 to 1. And they'll be serving German pot roast, bratwurst, sauerkraut, mashed potatoes, green beans, applesauce, and desserts for a freewill offering to support Kevin Richter at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, to the Armed Forces. A silent auction will also be following that. That's the Emmanuel Lutheran Church Oktoberfest dinner on October 2nd at the Adair Community Center from 11 to 1. Over in Exira, the Exira Holy Trinity Catholic Church, it's their annual fall chicken supper on September 2nd, and that is from 4:30 to 7 at the Exira Rec Center. And they'll have Staley's chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, rolls, salads, dessert, and beverage. And that's $10 for adults and $5.50 for children 5 through 12. That's the Exira Holy Trinity Catholic Church annual fall chicken supper on October 2nd from 4:30 to 7. St. John's United Church of Christ, that's a mile south of Lyman. Their God's Portion dinner and sale is on October 5th. That's from 5 to 7, and they do have carryouts available. That's at 4:30. They'll be serving roast beef, ham balls, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, corn, assorted salads, and pie. It's $8 for adults and $4 for kids 10 and under, and preschoolers all free, and then they'll have the sale following the meal.
Lots of stuff there. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more for you right after this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back with some more stuff here. You were talking Oktoberfest. I got another Oktoberfest note here. It's a little different location, though. This is up at the House Barn Conference Center up in Manning at the House Barn Heritage Park. Their Oktoberfest celebration comes up Saturday, October 8th, and it includes, something good, beer. Homebrewed beer. They say bring your homebrewed beer for a hoppy beer contest that starts at 1 p.m. They'll have prizes awarded. The Jolly Home Brewers, one of my favorite polka bands, will be playing from 6 to 9 p.m. Eddie and the gang will be in full force. Diary of a Part-Time Monk will be performed at 7 o'clock, and they'll be serving traditional German food. $10 is the cost. That includes the food and all the entertainment stuff, too. So Saturday, October 8th at the House Barn Conference Center in Manning. That starts at 5 p.m. And again, that home brewing contest starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon as well. So good time had by all. Never known a German party to go sour. The kraut might go sour, but the party goes on and goes on. That's fun. Let's see. A few things coming up here yet this week. There'll be a Jim Parker benefit dinner. And this will be on Wednesday, September 28th, from 5 to 8 p.m. will be dinner. This will be at the Elliott Community Building on Main Street in Elliott, and carryouts will be available. Dinner will include made right sandwiches, baked beans, chips, homemade pie, and cake. And they'll be taking a free will donation for the dinner. Jim is currently receiving treatment for cancer. He and his wife, Linda, live in Grant, and they are very appreciative of all the help that the communities have provided them. And all the money that is donated here will help them with those medical expenses. So again, that's going to be on Wednesday, September 28th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Elliott Community Building in Elliott. That's a Jim Parker benefit dinner. Made right sandwiches, baked beans, chips, homemade pie, and cake. And that's all for your free will offering. Please be generous. Also, the CAM Music Department will host a soup supper coming up on Thursday, September 29th. That'll be the night of their homecoming coronation. They'll be serving chili and potato soup. Chili is starting to sound very good. Have you had chili yet this fall?
Not yet. I'm ready to make some up, though.
I know it's in our future because I know all the fixins are sitting at home now. They'll be serving chili and potato soup from 5 to 6:45 p.m. You can just do this and enjoy it, too.
Yeah.
They'll have musical entertainment at 6:15, and the coronation activities begin at 7 p.m., and they're asking for your free will donation for the soup supper, and that is sponsored by the CAM Music Boosters. Again, that's the CAM Music Department Soup Supper, Thursday, September 29th, starting at 5 o'clock. We've been mentioning this a few times over the last few weeks, but we'll throw it in here again. The first annual Dutch Oven Cook-Off at Lake Anita will be held on October the 1st, and this will be hosted by the Friends of Lake Anita. The goal is to have fun and demonstrate a little Dutch oven cooking skills and introduce the public to a Dutch oven cooking. It's a one-pot main dish competition. Now, it's the first year, so there's going to be no entry fee. They want to get as many competitors as possible. You'll provide all your own ingredients and equipment needed to prepare the dish. Remember, you do have to register for the competition, and team members should complete an entry form and return it to the Friends of Lake Anita by September 30th. That's coming up this next Friday, along with a copy of the recipe that you plan to make, too. And the public will be determining the winner, and they'll have top three entries receiving awards. So plan to be, if you're in a team, plan to be at Lake Anita State Park Campgrounds by 11 a.m. on October 1st. There'll be a cook's meeting at 11:30, and then cooking can begin as early as 1 o'clock with judging held at 3 o'clock. So there'll also be a Dutch oven demo scheduled at 2 o'clock for the public. The winners will be announced at 3:30. So lots of stuff there. You can contact E.D. Brocker at 762-3336 if you have more information. Or you go on the website. It's lakeanitastatepark.org to find out more. Lots of stuff there. Speaking of the season, it's getting to be cold and flu season. And the family flu vaccination clinics not only have started, in some cases they're well underway.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, usually you think of flu clinics being like, you know, late October into November and stuff.
Yeah, a little colder yet.
But, you know, anymore these vaccines are so good. It used to be you wanted to make sure you got it late enough in the season so that it would last you throughout the entire season. But the vaccines are so good now. And in fact, the vaccine that you'll get this year, the seasonal flu vaccine, is not only directed against the regular influenza strain that you might get this year. It's also going to cover you for the H1N1. So you don't have to go back to do a second one. And there's plenty of it. There's no shortage or anything. So and they do recommend, the experts in the health field recommend, anyone over 6 months of age should receive the seasonal influenza vaccination every year. So something to kind of keep in mind. Well, the folks up in Shelby County, the Murtu Medical Center, they have a bunch of clinics going on. In fact, they're 2 weeks in already. I mean, they've already had 2 weeks worth. They started on the 13th of this month, so they've got a number. In fact, they're about halfway through theirs already. But if you'd like to know more, get in line, I guess, for that. They'll be in Defiance this week on Tuesday, September 27th, at the St. Scholastica Religious Ed Center from 9 to 11 a.m., taking walk-ins there. Also, the Shelby Community Club on Wednesday, September 28th, from 9 to 10:30 a.m., and the Avoca Public Library also on this Wednesday from noon to 3, and those are for walk-ins. sessions there. Also on Friday, September 30th, a couple of locations. They'll be in Panama at the Fire Hall from 9 to 11 a.m. And then from 1:30 to 3 p.m. this coming Friday, September 30th, they'll be at the St. Mary's Parish Hall Religious Ed Center in Portsmouth, also taking walk-ins again there too. And then they'll have three more opportunities after that into October, all at the Community Health Office in Harlan. Cost is very minimal. The regular flu shot is $30. If you want the mist, it's $40. They have a high-dose vaccine, it's $45. You can bill Medicare. Your Part B cards, bring them with you. Also, they'll give you a receipt if you want to put them on your own insurance. They do give you one little note, though. Adults should wear short sleeves when you come in because that's where you're going to get the shot. Young children, though, should wear shorts under their long pants as their shorts. The shots there are given in the thigh, so be a little less embarrassing, I guess, to get yourself set up there, too. Any questions, contact the Murtu Medical Center Home and Public Health Hospice Department. They'll tell you plenty more. And I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about flu vaccination clinics from a number of other areas here as we get a little bit deeper into the season here yet this year. So keep your eyes and ears, well, keep them both open. You can watch and listen for it. And we'll tell you about it when we know more. Also, one more note here, too. The Rotary Club of Avoca is presenting Simon Estes in concert on Saturday, October 8th, 4 p.m. at the AHST School Auditorium. Now, tickets are limited, and they're only $20 each, and that includes a reception with Simon after the concert. So if you want to get involved in that, there are a lot of places you can go in Avoca. Couple of places in Harlan to get tickets. In Avoca, Paulie Jones Funeral Home, the Avoca Nursing and Rehab, Neiman Real Estate, Tams Insurance, Mid-States Bank, Capri Motel, City Hall, and also State Farm Insurance. In Harlan, you can get them at the Vet Associates or at Paulie Jones Funeral Home. And we also have some for sale here at KJAN Radio as well, but it's a limited number. Yeah. So if you're interested, stop on by here at our studios. We can get you hooked up as well. That's Saturday, October 8th, 4 p.m., and that's in Avoca. So this is about as close as it's going to get here for a while if you want to see Simon Estes in concert. All right. I don't have any anniversaries here in front of me, but you've got some birthdays over here,
don't
you?
Yeah, good thing I have some birthdays. Well, there's a card shower honoring Evelyn and Kingston's 95th birthday on September 30th. Her family is planning a card shower for her in her honor, and you can send her a card at 1707 9th Street, number 1 in Harlan, 51537. Evelyn's children are Larry and Kathy Kingston of Irwin, Mary Ingers of Harlan, and Richard Michaels of Chino, California, and the late Marceline Flug. She has 9 grandchildren, 16 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. So happy birthday to Evelyn Kingston of Harlan, celebrating her 95th birthday on September 30th. Again, her address there to send her a card is 1707 9th Street, number 1 in Harlan, 51537. Happy birthday to Jackie Bailey, celebrating her 70th birthday. She'll have a little party for her there at Buck Run Lodge at 75401 Eastland Road in Anita on Sunday, September 25th from 2 to 4. They'll also be celebrating Cheryl Bailey, Cheryl McCaskey's, and Jackie Jackson Bailey's birthdays. So happy birthday to Jackie Bailey, celebrating her 70th birthday on Sunday, September 25th. The family of, is it Marcel? Maisel Brower.
I'm just guessing, too.
Okay.
I don't know.
celebrating her 95th birthday with a card shower on October 6th. She's currently residing at the Griswold Care Center. You can send her a card to 106 Harrison Street, apartment number 7 in Griswold, and that's 51535. It says she'd love hearing from her Messina friends. Over at the Friendship Home, happy birthday to Betty Lund on September 27th, and also to Betty Madsen on September 27th, and a happy birthday goes out to Bernice Johansson on September 29th. At the Salem Lutheran Home, happy birthday to Judy Hansen coming up on September 28th, and over at the Exira Care Center, happy birthday to Walter Bolt on September 29th.
All right, a lot of birthdays there.
Yeah.
Very good. And no babies to tell you about, but if you do have any birthdays or anniversaries of note, especially zeros and fives on the ends of them, or if you have any babies joining the family you'd like to crow about, let us do the crowing for you. Just get them to us here at our studios. You can mail them, you can fax them, you can email them, and in fact, you just go on KJAN.com and submit a contact form to us as well. But all of our contact information is there on KJAN.com, so make sure you use that resource as well to find out what you need to know. That's going to do it for us this week, and that's all the time we have here this final weekend in September. It's October already next weekend.
Turn 30 in October.
Oh, boy, life is over.
It is. Getting old.
You hear the violin playing?
30. A little bit. I can
Good
barely hear it.
Grief. I don't even remember 30. You got me all off track now. Let's get out of here.
All right.
This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.